The Rum Runner, a comedy series written by author Norman Creighton about the rum goings-on in Canada's maritime provinces during the bad or good old days of Prohibition, depending on how you look at it. The hero, or arch-villain of the series, again, depending on your viewpoint, is Inspector John McMulloch of the Revenue Department, whose vital task is to stamp out drinking, and the smugglers, who made a business and profit out of encouraging a wee dram at literally any cost. Now here is The Case of the Wedding Champagne, with Inspector McMulloch. If you've ever listened to the swinging ads and the singing broad acts and caught the mounting excitement as launching day approaches, then you'll know what it's like here in the little town of Shelburne on Nova Scotia's South Shore. Because this is a town with a long, proud tradition of shipbuilding. The ancestral home of Donald Mackay, the man who built the Flying Cloud, the greatest clipper ship of them all. It was only natural then that back in those days of Prohibition, when we needed a new fast revenue cutter to chase the rum runners, we went to the shipyards in Shelburne. And soon, there she was, resting on the stocks, as sleek as a porpoise, waiting for the hour when she would finally slip down the ways into Shelburne Harbor. I recall that launching day very well indeed. The men were getting ready to grease the ways, and then, almost at the last minute, we discovered we'd forgotten something.
Good day, Doctor. I wonder if I could get...
Yes, your name, please.
John McMullough. I'm an inspector with...
John McMullough.
Yes, I'm an...
M.C.
Amazon. I'm an inspector with the Department of National Revenue.
Mm-hmm. Your age, wondering... please. Your age.
Well, that doesn't really matter, Doctor. I just want...
Yes, now, what are the symptoms?
Well, all I want is to ask if you can give me a...
Now, open your mouth.
Well, all I want is a...
A little wider, please.
That's it. Yes. Well, talking should be attended to now.
Now, let me look in your ear.
What? Doctor, please, just let me...
Wax needs to be syringed. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. I wish you could hear me.
I'm listening, my good man. Now, come now. What's wrong with you? I haven't all day to wait.
I came in here to ask you if you would give me a prescription for a bottle of champagne.
A bottle of champagne?
We're launching a revenue cutter down at the shipyards. We can't do it until we have a bottle of champagne. And as both you and I know, there's only one legal way to secure liquor nowadays, with a doctor's prescription at the drugstore.
Yes.
So if you'd be so good as to make out a prescription for a bottle of champagne...
Oh, no. I'm afraid, sir, the Hippocratic Oath does not allow me to prescribe for ships.
Now, just a minute.
I'm a physician, sir, not a boat hook.
Now, look here, Doctor. I've got to have a bottle of champagne. Ottawa is waiting for this boat to be launched and on the job. We need something fast enough to overtake the rum runners.
Well, until you do overtake them, I don't know where you'll get a bottle of champagne. Not here in Shelburne. I can't even get a decent bottle myself. There's only one bottle that I know of in town, a patient of mine, and she wouldn't let you have it to launch the entire Canadian Navy.
Who's that?
Well, I've offered her a free tonsillectomy, a post-nasal irrigation. I've even offered to pull out all her teeth. She won't budge.
Won't let you have it, no. Is she so very wealthy?
No. A quite unimportant little person. You'd pass her on the street any day and not give her a second glance. She does dressmaking, hemming skirts, repairing buttonholes, you know, that sort of thing. Very refined, mind you, but quite undistinguished. You'd hardly notice her,
but she has a bottle of champagne.
Yes. 1912. One of the really fine vintage years.
And her name?
Miss Desbrise. Miss Winnie Desbrise.
And where shall I find Miss Desbrise?
Oh, you'll find her, I expect, bending over her sewing machine, hemming someone's skirt, immersed in a drab little colorless existence. Tell her I'll give her a free appendectomy, complete with the very latest in suturing, the double button, and figure of eight stitch. If she'll just let me get my hands on that bottle of champagne.
Then your answer is still...
I'm afraid it's still no. No, Inspector, I couldn't let you have it. That bottle of champagne means too much to me. I bought it some years ago, at a time when I thought I was going to be married.
Oh, I see.
Now, how am I going to hemstitch this cup?
Well, Miss Desbrise, I don't suppose there's much use in offering you any money. Where this bottle has such tender associations for you. I know how people like to hold on to things like that.
Oh, no, the facing around this collar, it's female.
I do hope I haven't said anything to disturb you.
No.
I quite realize how very personal this matter is to you, Miss Desbrise. I don't wish to awaken memories of a broken romance, but it really is of the greatest urgency that we get that ship launched today. Ottawa's been in touch with me by telephone.
I didn't say my romance was broken, Inspector McMullock.
Oh?
We are still going together.
Oh, well.
Only we just hadn't got married.
I see.
After Carl got through his pharmacy course, well, I sort of helped him to get through. He didn't have much money. Well, that's why I took to dressmaking. Well, after he graduated and took a job at the drugstore, we were going to get married, but somehow, I don't know, it's just been one thing after another, and we've kept putting it off. I think I'll just tack the edge here.
You do a good deal of dressmaking?
No, it's all I do all the time. Better
I suppose facing. You make all your own clothes.
What? Make my own clothes? A dressmaker never makes her own clothes. Why, she's like the cobbler's children. Their shoes are always in the worst shape than anybody's.
Oh, but I think that dress you're wearing is very attractive.
This thing? Oh, Inspector McMullock, midi blouses aren't in fashion. Nobody wears midi blouses anymore. Or midi skirts. Except those who can't afford to buy new things and have to accept hand-me-downs from their relatives.
Oh, I didn't mean to suggest...
It's all right. I've given up trying to be stylish. I just like to read about them, you know, in the big American magazines like the Delineator and the Pictorial Review. They show pictures of all the latest models. Oh, yes, really, I absolutely adore looking at those American magazines. It's so terribly exciting what's happening today in clothes. Well, just about everything. It's all in such a ferment, isn't it? I was reading last week in this serial I'm reading in the Pluralist magazine. And the heroine, mind you, she smoked cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
I knew some women did, but they're writing about it nowadays, right out in print.
Times are changing.
Yes.
Why don't you make some of those new clothes for yourself?
This, but I did make an outfit for myself, but I've never had the nerve to wear it.
Yeah?
Well, Shelburne is very conservative, you know. An old royalist town with the old public wells and all the old traditions. Well, folks around here don't take kindly to things that are...
Something to talk about for a change.
This outfit I was telling you about... Oh, I don't know what they'd say.
I can see you there, Miss Daisbrise, on the launching platform, surrounded by officials, photographers snapping pictures, and you getting ready to swing that bottle of champagne.
Oh, you mean you want me to be up there? But only... Oh, you want me?
Of course.
Oh, Mr. McMullen, I mean, Inspector, you really want me to officiate the ceremony?
We would all be utterly charmed, Miss Daisbrise.
What should I wear?
Well, that wonderful new outfit you made for yourself.
Oh, I wouldn't dare. Up there on the launching platform. Will there be many people there?
The shipyard will be jammed.
Oh, I'd love to show them that I have something to wear besides someone's old cast-offs. Will my picture be in the Toronto papers?
Wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh. Winnipeg paper?
Could be.
Boston?
Possibly.
Aunt Olive out in Winnipeg and all those big old floppy hats she keeps sending me. And Aunt Em up in Toronto. This is her midi blouse. Aunt Nettie up in Boston. Her old high button boots. Oh, I'd just like them to know that down here in Shelburne we keep up with the times, too. Oh, and that beaded crepe machine is all the rage. I'm hardly
where it
is. Oh, Inspector, I'll do it.
Good for you. You'll remember to bring the champagne.
Oh, yes, I'll pick it up at the drugstore.
You have it at the drugstore?
Well, Carl, my friend, you know, he's the clerk there. Well, he's been taking care of it for me.
Well, you go to the drugstore and pick up the champagne, and I'll meet you there.
Oh, dear. This is so exciting. I feel almost as if I were a prize.
Orange? Strawberry? Or sarsaparilla?
Sarsaparilla, please. Sarsaparilla.
Excuse me, please. I see someone waiting at the pharmacy counter.
Just to help yourself to a straw.
Yes.
What is it, miss? Something I can...
Winnie.
Hello, Carl.
Winnie.
Lovely day.
It's you.
Were you expecting someone else?
I didn't recognize... For heaven's sakes, what's going on?
This is launching day, didn't you know?
Well, yes, but nobody gets dressed up like that on launching day.
Oh, maybe you're not keeping up with the times, dear.
All those beads. And can't you button yourself up any higher?
There are no buttons here.
No buttons? Gosh, Winnie. Here's this newspaper. Oh, wait till I get some corn plasters. And perhaps I could Suppose a customer should walk in.
Well, aren't I a customer?
Winnie, I'm just thinking for your own good. Well, you don't want people staring at you.
I don't know. It might be rather pleasant to have people staring at me for a change.
Here, I'll get you one of my white dusters to put on.
I don't want one of your old white dusters.
But you can't just go around looking like that.
Can't I?
Now, we need to be reasonable. I don't know what's got into you.
You know, Carl, I'm starting to get my eyes opened.
Well, don't start getting other people's eyes open while you're about it.
When you put on a crepe de chine afternoon frock, vermilion and silver, with a beaded binding, the whole world just seems to come alive.
I have a reputation to keep up. This is an ethical drugstore. I can't allow folks to get the idea that
you're not the mousy little person you appear to be when you stand behind the counter selling cough drops.
Now, wait a minute.
If you had any gumption, Carl, we'd have been married years ago. You're just too downright scared.
You don't have to make a scene.
But other girls are wearing cross-stitch embroidery. Why shouldn't I?
There's such a thing as going too far, you know.
Carl, I would like that bottle of champagne.
Oh, now, let's not get into an argument.
My champagne, please.
Well, I didn't mean to imply I think your dress is quite striking as far as the dress goes. Trouble is, it doesn't go very far, does it? Did you make it yourself?
I have nothing against the dress, exactly.
Now, Winnie.
You haven't gone and opened it.
If you insist.
You can bring it over to one of the ice cream tables. I think I'll sit down for a minute.
Miss, might I join you at this table?
With
quite the charms of this one. You belong here in Shelburne?
Oh, yes.
Well, allow me to compliment you on your good taste in clothes.
Oh, thank you.
Haven't seen anything quite so revealing since the last time I was in Paris.
You go to Paris often?
Well, not so much Paris. I find Saint-Pierre a little easier to get to.
Saint-Pierre?
And the quality of their product is very fine. Especially in the cask. We handle a good deal of it in bulk, you know.
In casks? Oh, you mean liquor?
Their brandy is superb.
Winnie, I wish you wouldn't do this. Now, please, come to your senses.
I beg your pardon.
Wrap the champagne in this paper bag.
Set it down, please.
Now, Winnie, remember, this is ours.
Oh, bottle of champagne. Yeah.
Winnie, don't take it off the bag. For goodness sake, someone might see.
I think I'll have a package of cigarettes, if you don't mind.
Cigarettes?
You heard me.
Cigarettes?
A lady would like a package of cigarettes.
You mean cubebs?
I do not mean cubebs. I mean cigarettes.
I'll get them for you, my dear. This pumpkin doesn't seem to understand.
Listen, what's the big idea?
Now, I wonder if I remember to bring my cigarette holder.
But you don't smoke.
Oh, yes, here it is.
What are those things on your wrist?
See? Sleeve bangles.
Sleeve bangles?
I'm wearing one of my ankles, too.
Don't draw attention to it.
They're the last word in jewelry down in New York.
Winnie, I don't understand you. I just don't understand
you.
It's
been obvious for some time.
Smoking? Here, in public? You wouldn't know how to smoke.
There we are, my dear. Package of turkey cigarettes with a picture of that harem girl on the cover. She left some change on the counter. You may leave us now.
But you can't. Oh, yes, coming, sir, coming.
I see.
see you have one of those extra long cigarette holders. Very fashionable.
How does it fit on?
Oh, here, allow me. I think these ovals will fit. There. Now for a light. Reminds me of the gay cabarets down in Saint-Pierre. Soft lights, fragrance of a cigarette. Shall we open the champagne?
No, I couldn't do that. It's not legal to drink.
Such disarming simplicity, not legal. Would that really stop you from opening the bottle?
Well, I don't think it would be quite the place to...
Come now, my dear. You're obviously a woman of some sophistication. I'll just take it out of the bag and loosen the wires.
Just a minute, Charlie. Not so fast.
You?
Yes. Oh, crap. And just in time. By the look of it.
Always spoiling things.
Yes. The law keeps catching up with you, doesn't it? What are you doing here? Making sure that you don't open that bottle of champagne. Now, give it to
me. He doesn't mean any harm.
You see, now I'm innocent. The lady says so. This man happens to be a rum runner. Hand it over. Yeah, Miss Daisbrise. I think it's time we went along to the shipyard.
Oh, yes, the shipyard.
Now, hold on, Inspector. I haven't even got around to ordering ice cream. And why should she want to go to the shipyards with you, I'd like to know?
Charlie, I suggest you come along and find out. Then we can both accompany Miss Daisbrise down to the docks.
Oh, my goodness. Now, let me see. I have my cigarette, my champagne, and a man on either arm. I don't think I can go through with it.
No, stand up now. Hold on to the champagne. And let's see if you flourish that cigarette move. The photographer is beginning to win the cameras.
Oh, dear.
Allow me, my dear. Pray take my arm and I'll escort you up the step.
Oh, dear.
Onto the platform.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Charlie.
Spy on the ladies in distress. Even law my own livelihood, you company.
Oh, my goodness.
There. Mounted to the party.
Charlie, if you don't mind, I think you'd better leave us now.
Leave?
This is hardly the place for you to be spending. Oh. Now, kindly go below.
Professor, don't tell him to go away. I need all the moral support I can get.
Moral support? From him?
I'll hold your arm, my dear.
Are they taking pictures now? Am I holding my cigarette hold at the right angle? Perhaps I should take a puff. Oh, look. There's no cigarette in my holder. What happened to my cigarette? Oh, my! Look at all the smoke!
What shavings are on fire!
Your cigarette must have fallen down among the
chips. Oh, mercy!
Water, someone! Get some water!
Burn the boat up to you!
Have no fear, my dear. Charlie is at your side.
I have here in my hip pocket a 26-ounce bottle of rum.
Rum?
Well, go on and use it. Rumble, do. Get down there and put out the fire.
Oh, it seems a sinful use for this good Demerara rum.
Oh,
but for you, my dear, I would give up even
this. Well, I hope he gets it out.
Look. Pour it over that piece of oakum, Charlie. That's where it started.
I think
you're
getting it under control. Oh,
here comes the men with shovels.
Thank goodness.
Oh, all right now. The danger's over.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I wasn't going to get some lunch to take
that trouble. Well, we've got to give Charlie credit. That was a pretty fine thing to do, really.
Oh, it's under control now. Don't worry, my dear.
Thank you so much.
It was mighty big of you, Charlie. Mighty big.
Now, can I stay on the platform?
Well, you see how I can very well refuse you.
Look, the impressive man is giving you the signal. I think they're really about to start the launching.
Are you ready?
Well, what do I do?
Well, just take the bottle of champagne.
Yes.
Give it a good swing.
Yes.
Before you let go,
yes.
Say, I hereby christen this ship Winnie the First.
Winnie? Oh, you're not naming her after me.
Indeed we are.
Oh.
Yes,
oh.
We couldn't launch without your cooperation.
Oh.
Now, ready with your picture?
Oh, yeah, I'm so nervous.
Take a good swing on this bottle.
I hereby christen this ship Winnie the First.
Well done.
Winnie,
you haven't launched
yet. Oh, no. You see me smash the champagne bottle.
That wasn't champagne. I gave you the wrong bottle.
Not champagne.
I gave you Dr. Witherspoon's nerve tonic by mistake.
Oh, dear. Inspector, we used the wrong bottle.
Too late.
Oh.
Too late now. She's beginning to move.
Oh.
I still have it in the drugstore. I bought a marriage license on the way down.
Oh.
So we can still make you
so. Oh, we're really going to get married.
This time I wouldn't dare let you get away. Not in that outfit, you're wearing.
Oh, I'm so happy.
May we come to the wedding?
Oh, but of course, yes.
Charlie, what? If you know what you did to save this show, I think you should have been as one of the
others.
How about it?
Oh, but I'd love it.
Well, this isn't exactly what I have planned.
Hey, you can open the champagne.
Well, as long as it's not Dr. Witherspoon's nerve tonic, I'll be there. And so, with the champagne bottle popping happily, we conclude our final encounter with the rum runners.
That was the case of the wedding champagne. The final episode in the comedy series The Rum Runners, written by Norman Creighton. Inspector McCulloch was played by Bill Fulton, Winnie by Faith Ward, Carl by David Brown, Charlie by J. Clyde Douglas, and the Doctor by Bruce Armstrong. The musical score was arranged and conducted by David Wood. The Rum Runners comedy series was directed by Peter Duncan and produced by Alan Yates of the CBC International Service in Montreal.